You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
Hello, all. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here. Thanks so much for spending the evening with us. So the last 2 years have been a little different, I think, for everyone. And I know everyone says, like, unprecedented, and they use the word, like, a lot for things that are precedented. And so I won't say that the last 2 years have been unprecedented, although some of the whirlwind has been unique to times like these. And it's not been the same for everyone. I've sat with and listened to those who seem to be near ruin, like at the end of the end, because of all of the stuff swirling around them. And I've sat with and talked to those who have actually thrived. And they would say, man, the last 18 months, I know, despite everything that's going on, it's not been so bad for me, and it's not been so bad for our family. So wherever you find yourself in that spectrum, wherever the times find you, there's no denying that the culture-wide angst and mistrust and fracture and kind of the overall void of peace has brought a heaviness inside of us and outside of us. Gladness has given way to sorrow in so many ways, and singing has given way to sighing in so many ways. But as we've read already, and as we've prayed today, and as we've sang already this eve of the eve, we are not without hope in times like these. And there's a guy named Brett McCracken. He sets this up this way. He says, the essence of hope is not the downplaying, not the justifying, and it's not the avoidance of present pain and sorrow, which means that we get to sit in the broken parts of this life. We don't have to act like that they don't exist. But he says, rather, hope is the expectation that as real as the pain is now, it will one day feel as foreign as our faintest memories. God's people have felt those feels since shortly after time began. For millennia, God's people have sat in seats similar to we're sitting in times like these. In the 7th century BC, the 12 kingdoms of the kingdom of Israel had fallen. 10 of them had fallen, and only 2 remained, right? And so it seemed like the sky was falling, and there were only 2 tribes of Judah that remained of God's covenant family. Things were unsettled, and the prophet Isaiah, he steps up to the microphone, and he speaks to the people. He was telling of the imminent doom of judgment because of sin within and sin without, and he's telling them of God's just judgment upon them and upon the world. God had already brought them out of exile to this point, right? Many years prior, God had brought them out of exile from Egypt through mighty works, but they'd forgotten that. Isn't that what we do? Like, we have great things happen to us and for us, and we have thankfulness in the moment or whatever it is, but as time goes by, we just forget what's been done or what's promised to happen in the future. And they seemed to be headed back into the hands of their of captors, and it was dark and it was bleak, and despair filled the air. They didn't see a way to recapture the song of their hearts. Gladness and joy were scarce because the way forward seemed lost. And even then, God spoke through Isaiah words that cut across the national landscape of despair that they were feeling, and it cut through to the hearts of those who trusted him. And this is what he says. This is one sliver of a song, or kind of like a sermon or some declaration from Isaiah in chapter 35, verse 10. This is the hope that he gave to them in that moment. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. Now, when you read the word Zion, it's like an actual hill. It's an actual city. But really, as the Old Testament kind of talks about Zion, it's God's holy place with God's holy people. It's like they will return to the place of blessing, is what it's saying. So, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That meant something to them, but as God so often does through his prophets, it means something far bigger than to them in that moment, right? Their promise was that exile, that is being in a place that's not quite home, right? The places in the state of being in an unnatural place, unwelcome suffering in a world that's not their own. Their promise was that exile has an end. And the end is that a ransom would be paid to buy them from the icy grip of darkness and despair. And the result from that promise, the result of that ransom is that gladness fills their hearts. Joy returns like the morning dew, covering everything in sight. Sighing turns to singing. They would see their hope fulfilled in part through the unfolding storyline of God's people that we get to read about in the Old Testament. But we see it in full through the storyline of God with his people. They were ransomed from darkness and sin, and they were brought back into a city, into a particular city, in a particular place, in a particular time. We have been ransomed from hopeless darkness and despair and sin into a city with the presence of God, with all of his people. And one day we will sit in that place forever. In the beginning of that ransom, the beginning of that ransom payment, it showed up not in a briefcase full of unmarked bills, alone, without a witness, but on display for all to see in a manger. I get it. It's so easy to be drawn into despair when we look, lives feel like they've crumbled or they are crumbling, or we look, even just local headlines feel so despairing. And certainly when we look at national and global headlines, when we think of all those things in the scope of eternity, it's really tough. But what we learn from this book, what we learn about the songs that we've even sang to this point, is when sorrow and sighing are all around, we, God's people, get to sing the hope of restored gladness and everlasting joy. Because darkness has met its end, all of our sorrow can turn to singing. See, the exile of joy has an end because darkness has met its match. We as a church have been walking through the Gospel of John for about 4 weeks now, and we're going to do that for the next 40 weeks or so. And in John chapter 1, we see like a sliver of this light, right? In him, talking about Jesus, in him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, the hope of that light may have appeared faint at times, throughout the times of history, throughout the times of our life, but when it came, it changed the world, and it changed the hope of the world from a what if God might be so gracious that he would send us a Savior, that he would send us one to stand on the king, that would stand on the throne as a king that would rule and reign forever. What if he might do that? And it changed those what ifs to a what now. In the face of darkness, God showed up to destroy darkness. Man, I am, words that you don't have to say, I'm a little nerdy, right? And so I listen to a lot of podcasts about a lot of different things, and one of them is called Science Versus, right? And they talk about a lot of different stuff on there, and it's Science Versus whatever they're talking about. And this one was asteroids, and so they're talking about, like, legit, if there was an asteroid coming to destroy the Earth, like, what's the plan? Like, for real, like, what are we doing? And I know most people in this room are like, I'm sure they're thinking of that. And then I would say, who's thinking of that, right? Like, your hope is in their hands, but you don't even know who they are. So in this podcast, they're talking to the guy who, like, I think he said, like, I got out of the shower, and it just hit me, like, this is what we'll do, right? And he's, like an engineer, and so he's, like, kind of avoiding the technical stuff that you know his mind swims in. And he begins to like tell of what we're doing. And actually last week, real life, we sent something up to destroy an asteroid, right? Don't worry. One, it was just a test run, which is super great. Like, I don't know who they are, but I'm super glad they're mindful of test runs, okay? So in 10 years, this thing will get there. And it will, there's two of them together, one bigger, one smaller. They're going to blow the thing up, and they're hoping to see the impact not only of the one that gets blown up, but the one near it to see if the shockwave would move it, right? So he begins telling, and you can kind of feel the tension. Like, this thing is hurling, it's imminent disaster. Like, it's over, right? It's not really, but if it were, it's coming towards us. And he says, so we shoot this thing up, and it gets up to a speed of about 10,000 miles per hour. And he said, what we're trying to do is basically get two speeding bullets to collide, a bajillion miles away. It's like super simple, right? And so he says we aim, and eventually it begins to kind of aim itself, and it kind of locks in. And like as he's telling this, the music escalates a little bit, and you can kind of like feel the tension, like they're doing a good job at telling the story, and his voice gets excited, and this thing is going. And suddenly in the horizon, what you see is the asteroid. You see it, and they can see it, right? And then it gets so big that it consumes the entire screen, and then like, and suddenly, silence. Sound waves don't travel in space. We wait. That's what we do. In a strikingly similar fashion, we were without hope, imminent doom, spiraling towards our end. A God rich in mercy sent the plan to save humankind. The plan, it's on its way. And so we begin to ask questions in times like these, along with so many others. Is it a king? Like, where are the trumpets blowing, right? This is what the people of old have asked, right? Is it a flood to just wash away all the evil? Is that what the hope is? Is it laws? Is it a government that's going to rise up to curb all of the things that are evil outside of us and inside of us? Is it a social movement? Like, we're going to defeat darkness and despair through inspiration and hope of a new day? Those are all things that legit we put our hope in. The tension builds. All of our suffering looks for a just like that silence that comes when the hope has finally come. Can you imagine all of us, and if you could just bottle up all of the tension, even in our culture right now, all of the tension and all of the despair and all of the voices and all of the noise, and it escalates, and it seems like something has to break, and suddenly a baby cries. That's the hope. A baby crying. Ultimately, the rescue came as the Son of God being sent by the Father, willingly going on his own, being empowered by the Holy Spirit all along the way, and he would grow up and he would live a perfect life before God the Father. And the hope that we get to walk in is that the Son dies so that we wouldn't have to. Man, one of my favorite Christmas songs melodically is from a band called Reliant K. And it's got some theological holes in it, but this is what it says, right? It says, from the first time that you open your eyes, did you know that you would be my Savior? And from the first time that you open your eyes, did you know that you would change the world forever? I remember hearing this as like a 20-something and just thinking, gosh, did you know? Like, Jesus, like, what is baby Jesus like? What's going on? And like, he's the fullness of God and he's the fullness of man, and yet he's in just this tiny little baby form. Like, and so that takes us to places, and there's unknowns, and it's fun to consider. And theologians, they argue all of that stuff all of the time, all right? And we know that he was fully God, he was fully man, and neither of those things overcame the other. How's that play out? I don't know, but this is what we do know. Then in Mark chapter 10, he came to show us this hope that I just read about that came 750 years prior in Isaiah. This is what Jesus says in Mark chapter 10. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, the hope has always been that God's people would be ransomed, that they would be exchanged by something that was worth their value. Jesus comes and he becomes that ransom. He becomes the hope. He becomes the one that changes our sighing to singing, our sorrow to gladness and everlasting joy. We're being ushered in by one who has paid our debt and he paid our ransom. And we were, like the world, subject to darkness, the problem then and now. It isn't merely outside of us. It's not an asteroid. It's not a pandemic. It's not a virus. It's not political corruption or any of the other things. But the problem is where it has always been. It's inside the hearts of humanity and the fracture that sin has caused. And it started by breaking the fracture between God and man. And we see real shortly that sin breaks it causes fracture between humanity and humanity. And we see that it causes fracture between humanity and all of God's creation. But we have been ransomed, not by a business exchange, not by political asylum, but by a baby who grew to be a man who lived perfect in every way, who bore all of the sin of all who might believe, and he paid the price by spilling his blood. And by that, we are healed. This world is healed. This world is reconciled back to God. We can be sorrow and sadness gives way to singing and gladness. It is the promise of what has been done already that gives us the confidence and the hope of things yet to come. When sorrow and sighing are all around, we get to sing the hope of gladness and everlasting joy. So what that means for us is no matter what befalls us, no matter what comes our way, no matter what takes a punch at those who are ransomed in Christ, we get to cling to the assurance of our God with us. We are his and he is ours, and we get to let gladness and joy invade our hearts. And when that happens, we get to sing of his great name today and forever, and we get to live lives that tell his story. Darkness has met its match, so sing and be glad, full of joy everlasting. Would you pray with me? God, thank you that we get to come together on an evening like this and take an hour amidst a busy time that's filled with lots of highs and lots of lows. God, would you show us that you are the one that restores all things? Would you show us that it's not about the things that we do, but it's about the things that you've done? Would you let us walk in that? And would you let us cling to what you've already done on our behalf? And would you let the assurance of your salvation to us by faith alone in who you are, would you let that give us joy and promise and hope, knowing that you will continue to do all that you promised to do? We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.